You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You want a war? You're going to get one.
Now get the guns, the drugs, to my generation.
Welcome back to Reliving the War, and welcome to the 5th of July, 1999. We've got Raw in Fayetteville, North Carolina this week, while Nitro takes place in WCW's home turf, the Georgia Dome in Atlanta. A few things before we get started. Please remember to check out the special Thunder episode of Reliving the War that went up a few days ago. The Kevin Nash and Macho Man storyline progressed quite a bit on Thunder, plus the show had some great matches. So get yourself all up to date by watching that Reliving the War special. Also remember, there's going to be no Reliving the War for the next 2 weeks because I'm going on a side quest to find Steve Blackman. The Bash at the Beach 99 review will be on my channel as normal though. Last but not least, this week's Jam Up guy is Bill from New Jersey. Bill's been a supporter of the channel for quite some time and he stocked up on Reliving the War shirts when the Owen Hart donation drive was announced. So many thanks to Bill, and remember guys, the March donation will be made public at the end of the month. It was reported that 41,000 fans attended the Georgia Dome in 1998 when Goldberg beat Hollywood Hogan. Tony Schiavone announces that 25,000 are in attendance for Nitro tonight. Our opening match features Juventud Guerrera taking on Chavo Guerrero, and the night starts off brilliantly with Chavo falling on his ass when making his entrance. To be fair, I've noticed a lot of guys paying attention to where they walk when going down that ramp, and Ric Flair even complained about it on literally day one. But still, it is funny and Chavo must have felt pretty dumb right here. The action's fast and furious as you'd expect. The commentators talk about Bret Hart appearing tonight as Hoovy performs a spinning wheel kick followed by a missile dropkick, and this move forces Chavo out of the ring. Chavito dodges a baseball slide to take control of the match, and back inside the ring he pulls off a hard clothesline before locking Juventud in the gory special. Hoovy gets the boots up when Chavo comes off the top rope. He then goes for a bulldog from the powerbomb position, but he was just slightly off. The crowd get on their feet following a Hoovy driver, but Guerrero stops his opponent from performing the 450, and after a few counters, Chavo's able to pull off a set-out gourd buster. Just as the match is picking up steam, we get interrupted once again by Macho Man and Sid Vicious. If you're wondering why Sid has the World Championship belt, you'll need to check out my Thunder video. Chavo takes a powerbomb while Randy drops the elbow on Juventud, and Sid then grabs a microphone to cut a promo. This should be good. He tells Nash to pay attention to what just happened in the ring. Daddy Sid once told his son that suffering builds character, and this means Big Sexy has a lot of suffering to go through. And then Sid says this.
You mess with this man's man! This man's mine, excuse me!
Kicker be kicking. Macho Mind takes the mic before he loses his man, but Kevin Nash appears on the screen to make fun of Randy. Nash still has Gorgeous George, and Savage loses his mind when Kev won't tell him where she is. Kev says Sid's got something that belongs to him, the world belt, and seeing as Kev wants his property back, he challenges Sid to a main event match tonight on Nitro. Macho doesn't care what Sid does, he just wants to get George back, and Kev says she's a bit busy right now getting dressed, something that infuriates Randy even more. George then walks in the frame and Sid says Team Madness will get George back following tonight's main event. And for those who watched Diesel vs. Sid in 1995, I'm sure this Nitro main event didn't sound too thrilling. After a commercial break, Rick and David Flair walk down to the ring, and I still don't know who David thinks he is. Flair reveals that Scotty Steiner's too busy to defend the US title, so the championship's going to get stripped from Big Papa Pump, and it's going around the waist of David Flair right this instant. In reality, Scott was dealing with a back injury and he couldn't compete inside the ring, but even Mean Gene says that this is the worst display of nepotism so far from Ric Flair. The crowd boos as Rick explains David was screwed out of the world title last week on Nitro. In Luke, even Rick doesn't want to shake his own son's hand, God knows where that hand's been. Out comes Little Nate, Asia, and a bunch of random women to bestow the US title upon Davey Boy Flair. It looks like David's gotten over Tori Wilson pretty quickly, but here comes Buff Daddy to ruin the festivities. Bagwell says Atlanta, Georgia's Buff Country, this isn't Charlotte, North Carolina. And Flair reminds Buff that the Nature Boy runs the show and Bagwell better piss off so this party can continue all night long. Bagwell says David hasn't got the stuff and he challenges him to a US title match. Rick agrees on behalf of his son while saying Charles Robinson's going to officiate that match. So there you go, Buff gets another shot at winning his first singles title tonight on Nitro. Next up, Rick Steiner completely squashed Vampiro in under 1.5 minutes. Vampiro got in one decent looking kick and that was about it. Steiner won with an arm submission hold that didn't look painful in the slightest, but that's how it ended, and Rick now looks on to Bash at the Beach where he'll defend his title against Van Hammer, also known as the pay-per-view toilet break. We then cut over to Lodi and Lenny. Lodi bought Lenny some new ring gear and Lodi says they'll definitely fit because he knows every inch of Lenny Lane. Yeah, they again talk about Lenny worrying about the company finding out, and Lodi says Lenny has nothing at all to be worried about. Steve Austin cuts a promo to open up Raw. On Nitro, we've got the return of Bret Hart. Austin puts things into perspective when he says he destroyed Vince McMahon's master plan. The whole greater power thing was flushed down the toilet when, in one night, Stone Cold defeated The Undertaker for the WWF Championship. The Undertaker's now challenged Austin to a First Blood match at Fully Loaded for the belt, and Stone Cold accepts this challenge because it was The Undertaker who busted Austin open at the 1998 King of the Ring, which in turn led to Stone Cold's first title reign coming to an end. Austin says payback's a bitch. Vince McMahon then appears at the entranceway, and McMahon came to the conclusion that the WWF isn't big enough for both Vince and Austin. So Vince has another challenge for Stone Cold, one that could benefit Austin if he wins at Fully Loaded. McMahon's so confident that The Undertaker will become WWF champion again that he's willing to leave Austin alone for good if Stone Cold can beat the Deadman at the pay-per-view. McMahon will no longer interfere in Austin's business if Austin's victorious. However, if The Undertaker wins, Stone Cold will never be allowed to challenge for the WWF title ever again. He can't ask for a title shot, he can't compete in number one contender matches, Austin won't get anywhere near the belt again if he can't bust The Undertaker open on July 25th. Vince says this could be the end of an era before adding further confirmation that he'll actually take himself off TV if Austin's victorious, so Austin agrees to these stipulations in hopes of getting rid of McMahon for good. I'm just gonna say it, The Undertaker vs. Steve Austin's completely played out at this point, and it's not a match I care to see again. Last week should have been the end of it, and I really think it should have been Triple H's time to get a shot at the belt, but what do I know, I'm an idiot with a YouTube channel. Tonight we're going to see Triple H and The Rock inside a steel cage, and Rock arrives to Raw to cut one of his more memorable Attitude Era promos. The Great One wants Michael Cole to wear his new SmackDown Hotel t-shirt, and Rock proceeds to put the shirt over Cole's head before addressing Triple H. He says Triple H fails to realise that The Rock's genetically electrifying, and Rock's going to stop Triple H from realising his dream of one day becoming champion. And as for Billy Gunn, badass is nothing to The Rock, Billy's a nobody, a peon to the people's champ. And Rock hasn't forgotten what Billy Gunn did last week on Raw. Over on Nitro, WCW aired a video about the Owen Hart tragedy. Mike Tenay provides the voiceover and he says that Bret's run in WCW hasn't worked out the way the Hitman planned, but this run pales in comparison to the heartache Bret suffered when Owen passed away at Over the Edge. Bret walks out to a great ovation from the fans in Atlanta, and rather than talk about what Bret said, I'll do what I did for the Raw's Owen tributes and I'll just play Bret's speech from start to end.
On behalf of my whole family and everybody back in Calgary. We want to thank all the wrestling fans all around the world that have sent their love and their support and their condolences. It's meant a lot to myself. It's meant a lot to my family. And it was very, very much appreciated. The WCW has been really kind to me in the last few weeks. And they've allowed me to take all the time that I want to collect myself. I wanted to say a few words about my brother Owen. He wasn't just your average wrestler. He was a wonderful human being. You know, so many wrestling fans watch him on TV every day, but they never really got close to him sometimes. But then again, there's a lot of fans that did get to know him, and a lot of the wrestlers got to know him. And I don't think there's anybody that could say a bad thing about him anywhere. He was my closest brother. We never had an argument. We never raised our voices with each other once. We were friends. We were close from the time that he was in diapers. And I take a lot of pride in knowing how well he had turned out. Eric Bischoff talked to me, and he asked me if I'd come back on July 5th and at least come and explain how I felt about things. And I thought maybe I'd be ready to talk about things when I got here. But the truth is that I'm really having a hard time deciding on what I want to do with my career and probably my life. I've lived for wrestling. And my family has lived for wrestling. And we've died for wrestling. I don't know what else there's left for me to do anymore in wrestling. Maybe it's time for me to move on and try to accomplish something else in another field or do something else. I think of Wayne Gretzky, and I think of Elway, and I think of all these guys that are retiring in 1999. And when I think of those people, they all, when they got to hang it up, they were all so happy. And I look at myself, and it sucks. Tell myself on one hand that it's not fair for me to end my career on a tragedy, on a bad note. Listen, nobody wants to prove more in wrestling than I do. I've given my whole life to it. But the truth is, I just don't know. I really don't know. I swear to God, I do not know. I've always tried to give you my best. I'm happy, despite everything that happened, with the way my career and my life have turned out. But I'm gonna take some time, and I'm gonna think about everything, and I'll put everything in perspective. But if I never get the chance to ever say it again, I just wanna thank all the fans everywhere that I ever had that I still have. I wouldn't be anything without the wrestling fans. You've been with me from the very start. And if this is the last chance that I ever get a chance to talk to all the wrestling fans all around the world, thank you very, very much. I want to thank all the wrestlers in the dressing room, all the wrestlers in dressing rooms all around the world. It was a pleasure to work with each and every one of you. I hope I wasn't too stiff. And that's about it. Thank you very much.
Eddie Guerrero's got a big problem. Someone stole his wallet. Eddie has to talk with that no good Doug Dillinger to get justice, and Guerrero says he knows the culprit was someone wearing a mask. Eddie says he could pick out the culprit from a lineup, so Doug says he'll round everyone up in WCW who wears a mask, and Eddie can point out the criminal. We'll come back to this later on. Next on Nitro, Jerry Flynn takes on Ernest Miller in a kickboxing match. On Raw, the Hardys get a shot at the Acolytes Tag Team Championships. Kane Tombstone Bradshaw on the ring steps last night on Heat, and doctors try to tell Bradshaw he's not clear to compete tonight. So Bradshaw smacks the poor guy before he and Farouk make their way down to the ring. The Hardys dive over the top rope before the bell rings, and we've got a brawl to kick off this tag team title match. Farouk and Matt start working in the ring while Bradshaw wrecks Jeff on the outside. Matt's able to pull off a neckbreaker before both he and Jeff head up to the top, and we've got some tandem aerial attacks to excite the crowd. Farouk fires back with a spinebuster and a power slam before Bradshaw tags in. Matt takes a big boot followed by a body slam, and when Bradshaw goes for a fallaway slam, the Hardys work together once again to get the upper hand. Matt leaves the ring and the Acolytes do a number on Jeff. Farouk tries a dominator but it gets countered with a DDT. Bradshaw has a go too, but he fails when going for a powerbomb. He is able to hit a clothesline on Matt, but Michael Hayes jumps on the apron, and this leads to Bradshaw's partner getting distracted. Jeff's then able to clock Bradshaw with his manager's cane, and this leads to Matt performing a tornado DDT for a pinfall win. The Hardy Boys have won the tag team championships, and honestly, I'm glad to see it. The Acolytes title run wasn't anything special at all. The boys from North Carolina celebrate at the entranceway, and after a commercial break, they get interviewed by the Red Rooster. Matt talks about how winning the tag team belts is like a dream come true, but this heartfelt promo gets cut off with some GTV footage featuring Draws and Prince Albert. These two have to become the Godfather's hoes tonight after losing a match on Sunday Night Heat, and Albert's disgusted that his partner actually likes shaving his legs and wearing women's clothing. The Godfather's in action next against Gangrel, so this story will progress in just a moment. Over on Nitro, we've got a worked kickboxing match because that's what everyone wants to see in a pro wrestling show, right? These two do have backgrounds in martial arts, but I'd seriously rather watch a brawl for all match than this nonsense right here. The crowd boos loudly during round 1. At the beginning of round 2, the cat gets a warning for an illegal kick. The crowd then boo even louder as this round progresses, and even Miller's spinning back fist wasn't enough to win the crowd over. They absolutely hated this match, and I don't blame them either. Flynn gets put on the mat again twice after taking kicks in the midsection, and Miller gets disqualified after punching Flynn while Big Butthead was down on one knee. Jerry attacks Miller after the bout, but it's quickly broken up, and Bobby Heenan says the man who won this match looks like a loser, while the man who lost the match looks like a winner. Horrible stuff from WCW though, they put on an absolute crowd killer right here. Next on Raw, it's Gangrel versus The Godfather plus Tess versus Joey Abs. On Nitro, Lodi takes on Van Hammer. Val Venus and Godfather welcome Draws and Prince Albert to the ring, and yeah, looking great lads. Gangrel sees enough and he goes to work on Godfather with a few punches followed by a spinning wheel kick, but Godfather replies with a few clotheslines. The match then ends very abruptly when Gangrel misses an elbow drop and Godfather scores a pinfall win following a leg drop. And after the bell, Draws and Albert attack Venus while Gangrel plants Godfather with an impaler DDT. Gangrel then goes out to attack Val Venus, but he's stopped by Edge and Christian. It looks like these lads just want to pull Gangrel away and they don't really care about Venus. But Gangrel doesn't look too happy with his Brood teammates as the faction breakup continues on Raw. Tess then wrestled Joey Abs, and before the match, Stephanie wanted to make sure that Tess was gonna be okay. Tess was like, "Don't sweat it, babe, I got this." And Tess lived up to his word by attacking Joey on the entranceway before hitting a big boot inside the ropes. Tess then pulls off a gut-wrench powerbomb, and Joey finally answers with a back suplex, but it looks like this one's already over when Tess delivers a sit-down powerbomb. Shane McMahon then walks out holding his sister Stephanie. Tess doesn't pay attention, and this leads to him getting jumped by the rest of the Mean Street Posse.
Had sex, I haven't felt great. It felt so good when I did it with my penis. A girl let me do it, it literally just happened. Having sex can make a nice man out the meanest. Okay.
Stephanie has to watch as these three absolute hoodlums beat up her boyfriend, and it all ends with Shane letting Stephanie go while the Main Street Posse head back up the ramp. Steph can't believe the posse would do this to her boyfriend, but little did Stephanie know, this is just what the Main Street Posse does. In the parking lot, Chyna's freaking out because her car got vandalized. We can see DX graffiti all over the vehicle, and Chyna says this was the work of X-Pac and Road Dogg. Looks like the boys in blue have their hands full tonight on Raw, and again, we'll come back to this in just a moment. On Nitro, we've got Van Hammer versus Lodi, and because Hammer's getting a title shot at Bash at the Beach, there's no way he's gonna lose this one. He's also taking on Lodi, who hasn't won a match on Nitro ever, so that pretty much seals it. After taking a beating in the ring, Lodi got a drink at the commentary table, but this didn't help too much. Lenny Lane gave Lodi an assist on the outside, and that didn't help either. His best opportunity to win this match came when he pulled off a Hurricane Rana, but as predicted, Hammer won with a superplex and the Cobra Clutch Slam. I'll tell you what's gonna happen, okay? Hammer will face Steiner at Bash at the Beach, he's gonna take a loss, and then he'll go on another losing streak on Nitro, because all we're seeing here is another half-assed attempt by WCW to get a lower mid-card guy over. It never ever works, and the results are always the same. Backstage, Doug Dillinger rounds up the WCW luchadors. One of these guys stole Eddie's wallet, and we really need to get to the bottom of this. The luchadors don't want to comply, but they have no choice, so they all get brought to another room where Eddie's gonna pick out the culprit. On Raw next, it's a hardcore title match, Al Snow versus D'Lo Brown. On Nitro, Roddy Piper cuts a promo. D'Lo talks smack about Al before the match, and he doesn't notice the champ getting in the ring. D'Lo takes a few shots with the bacon tray before the two head into the audience, and the men end up fighting beside a small concession stand where they end up pouring Diet Coke over each other. Diet Coke can apparently blind you guys, so be careful out there. The two then go to an elevator where D'Lo takes control, Snow goes for a little slide, and the men end up on the ground floor again, and D'Lo gets a few potted plants thrown at him. When the two end up at the payphones, D'Lo gets in the expected but still funny, "You should have used 1-800-COLLECT line," while also saying Snow's gonna reach out and touch somebody. We then end up in the catering area where D'Lo gets choked out with a chain. He replies with a lowdown, but he doesn't cover Snow after the move, which is a little surprising. But he does manage to throw Al through a table, which really should be the end of the match. Midian then shows up and he pushes a few tables on top of D'Lo. It doesn't look painful at all, but it distracts D'Lo long enough for Al to take advantage, and the challenger finds himself on top of a table. Al performs a splash while using a scissor lift for a little extra height, and Al Snow retains the hardcore belt. One can hope this is going to lead to a Midian vs D'Lo European title match, and maybe D'Lo can become the champion of Europe once again. In a different area, Sergeant Slaughter and Hard Finkel are getting questioned by police. The cops want to know where Road Dogg and X-Pac are, and that little snitch Hard Finkel tells these jabronis exactly which locker room the guys are currently sitting in. What a dirty little stooge. On Nitro, Roddy Piper calls himself the original Highlander of pro wrestling before giving a shout out to Kurt Hennig and the West Texas Rednecks.
"Because crap is rap, and rap is crap.
Either way."
The Sid effect has arrived at WCW, ladies and gents. Piper says he doesn't know where Sting's head's at, and he's also getting questions from fans regarding Sting, so Piper tells the Icon to come out and give a few answers. A shit Sting then marches down to the ring, and this guy's pretty small. The crowd boos as Piper asks Sting if he's part of Team Madness and if Sting drove the Hummer. Sting says no quite a few times, so Piper hits him with a neckbreaker before sending him back out of the ring. A complete waste of time, and do keep in mind I'm giving you the abridged version here. Piper then challenges Buff Bagwell to a fight at Bash at the Beach, a boxing match consisting of 10 three-minute rounds, and I cannot believe this company would go ahead with this following that kickboxing match. The fans absolutely hated it, and they aren't too thrilled about this announcement either. James J. Bebe Dillon thinks this fight needs an impartial referee, so he's brought Judge Mills Lane to officiate the match. This seems to anger Roddy Piper, and this is really confusing. Dillon was on Flair's side just a few weeks ago, and now it seems like he's making life difficult for Piper. I don't know. Mills says let's get it on about 5 times before he too falls victim to the Sid effect.
Let's tee it up and get it on in on Sunday in California and Florida.
Road Dogg vs Val Venus takes place on Raw, plus we've got Jeff Jarrett vs Chaz. On Nitro, it's Regal and Finlay taking on Conan and Rey Mysterio. Val Venus got attacked earlier on, but you wouldn't think it as he pummels Road Dogg in the corner. James replies with a few clotheslines, but Venus comes right back with his running knee strikes and signature Russian leg sweep. Val then pulls off a butterfly suplex, we see the D-O-double-G's dancey punch and dancey knee, but then the cops walk down to the ring along with X-Pac and the boys are here to arrest Road Dogg. The crowd boos at the finish, and so did I, to be honest. I know I keep on about this, but Raw's been absolutely terrible these past few weeks with inconclusive matchups, and the only clean win we have had so far tonight was in the Godfather vs Gangrel match. X-Pac and Road Dogg are being arrested for vandalizing China's car. China and BA Billy Gunn are watching it all go down backstage, and Billy says if Road Dogg and X-Pac want to play dirty, then they're going to get what they deserve. Road Dogg and X-Pac are getting locked up right beside Steve Blackman. Blackman turned himself in and he's spending a night in prison just so he doesn't have to hear Kurt Hennig play country music on Nitro later tonight. Next up we had Double J versus Chaz, so you just know there's going to be interference in this one. Chaz was doing pretty well against Double J and he even resisted the usual temptations of one Deborah McMichael, but Mariana then got involved and Chaz took his eye off Double J. Jarrett wins the match after pulling off the stroke, and the fans were way more interested in the argument going on outside the ring. After the bout, Double J wants to attack Chaz with his trusty guitar, so Headbanger Thrasher runs down to save his old buddy. We have got ourselves a Headbanger reunion on Raw's War, and who knows if anything's gonna come of this. On Nitro, the entrances and pre-match promos were longer than the match itself. Mysterio gets powerbombed by Regal, and there was a good catapult clothesline combo here from Finlay and Regal, but the referee walked into frame and we missed all the impact. Finlay and Regal then work on keeping Mysterio away from his corner, and the boys bring new meaning to chin abuse when Mysterio finds himself in a chin lock and a Boston Crab at the same time. But as soon as Conan comes in, it's game over. Rolling Lariat to Finlay, K-Factor Facebuster to Regal. We think that's going to be it, but the West Texas Rednecks run down and it's another DQ finish. It didn't need to be a DQ finish. I don't know why Conan just couldn't have got a pinfall victory here and then have Kurt Hennig and company hit the ring afterwards, but again, what do I know? Finlay and Regal help the West Texas Rednecks, the No Limit Soldiers get destroyed, and Kurt Hennig heads to the back to get prepared for a live performance of Rapa's Crop a little later on. Edge vs Big Boss Man on Raw, David Flair vs Buff Bagwell for the US title on Nitro. Boss Man overpowers Edge at the opening bell, but in a matter of seconds we've got Edge pulling off a spinning wheel kick. Boss Man then gets his face planted into the apron and the future Rated R superstar pulls off a missile dropkick. Bubba replies by dropping Edge on the top rope and this gets followed up with a big splash. Boss Man gets frustrated because he can't keep Edge down for a 3 count, so he tries a body slam and this gets countered with a spear. Edge gets a pretty surprising win on Raw that went for 2 minutes and 24 seconds. To put it into perspective, Godfather vs Gangrel was 1 minute and 20 seconds, Test vs Joey Abs was 1 minute and 53 seconds, Val Venus vs Road Dogg was 1 minute and 37 seconds, and the Jeff Jarrett match was 1 minute 45. I've no idea what the fuck the WWF are playing at recently, but this isn't good. Anyway, Boss Man attacks Edge after the match with his nightstick, Edge gets handcuffed, he gets attacked a little more, even the referee gets knocked out, so Christian runs down to help his brother out. Christian gets handcuffed too, and the Boss Man beats the hell out of both men. There's no sign of Gangrel here as Boss Man continues his assault, and it all ends with Boss Man standing tall while Edge and Christian stay handcuffed to the ring ropes. Backstage, China says her property was vandalized tonight and she herself was violated by X-Pac and Road Dogg's actions. China's gonna press charges, and this is all a fine example of why China never wants to be associated with Road Dogg and X-Pac ever again. Triple H, meanwhile, is seething about this upcoming cage match. He says he's beaten The Rock before, it won't get him anywhere to do it again. And Hunter says there must be a communication problem somewhere because he had his opportunity at Fully Loaded taken away from him. But with that in mind, Triple H promises, come hell or high water, he will become the WWF champion. On Nitro, I fully expect this farce of a match to end with interference once again, and I do hate to be negative, but it's true. Same shit, different week. Buff poses to the camera and he invites David to do the same, but David knows his incredible physique would make fans at home pass out, so he decides not to give us all a gun show. Flair takes a few shots and Buff has a word with Charles Robinson before young David takes a body slam. Bagwell taunts Rick before hitting his son with a big right hand. The US champion then gets slapped around a bit. I can't believe I'm calling David Flair the US champion. And Bagwell then performs a suplex as Flair struggles to get started. A low blow right in Buff's stuff puts the challenger on the canvas. Bagwell no-sells it as he hits David with a back elbow. We then see the blockbuster and that means the match should be all over, but Charlie stops his count at 2 and it looks like Buff's gonna get screwed. Color me surprised. He goes to lock in a figure 4 but Flair and Anderson run in. Buff keeps these guys at bay for a moment but it's no good. The figure 4 gets broken up and it all ends with a big brawl when Dean Malenko runs down to help out Buff. Asia takes a body slam and here comes Roddy Piper with those brass knucks that don't look like brass knucks but we'll call them brass knucks anyway, and Piper clocks Bagwell to give David Flair the win. David pins Bagwell and he gives Buff a kiss on the belly. David Flair wins his first US title defense and I think it's time for me to go on the drink again. This is... this is shit. This is so shit. Next up on Raw, we've got Meat versus Billy Gunn. I'm a nice man! On Nitro, we've got a few backstage promos plus the Rap is Crap live performance. The Raw match started off well for Meat when he pulled off a hip toss followed by a version of the F5, sort of. That's all about Meat's going to do in this match unfortunately because Billy stops a backdrop attempt and Stasiak takes a jackhammer. We then see the Famouser and that's it, Billy wins the easiest match of his entire career probably and the Pretty Mean Sisters aren't happy about it. Jackie gets up in Billy's face so China gets in to put her in her place. China DDTs Jackie, Billy DDTs Meat, and China then pulls out some spray paint and the former degenerate spray DX across Meat and Jackie's backs. The commentators put two and two together and they figure out that it was actually these two who spray painted China's car. It was all a plan to get X-Pac and Road Dogg arrested. What do you guys think of this? Do you think it would have been better if China and Billy went directly after their opponents, or does this kind of thing tell a better story? Let me know in the comments. On Nitro, Doug Dillinger lines up the masked wrestlers for Eddie and it's time to find out who stole Eddie's wallet. Only Eddie's now changing his story and apparently whoever did this actually had their mask off when they took his money. Eddie wants these guys to take their masks off and it becomes clear that Guerrero just wants to see what these guys look like. The wallet was probably never stolen. It's weird because you'd like to think Eddie already knows what these guys look like, but anyway, Leparca's face scares Latino Heat. Hey! Ciclope looks like he's had his face burned in a fire. Psychosis is a good looking guy who doesn't need a mask. Viano 5's face doesn't look good at all. The Cheetah Kid is actually Prince Iakea and Eddie's pretty happy to see him. And as for Blitzkrieg,
this is everybody.
Guerrero says none of these guys stole his wallet and the cruiserweights are all pretty angry with this little stunt Eddie pulled off. After watching Eddie on Nitro these past few weeks and after watching him on this past episode of Thunder, I'm not sure if he's supposed to be a babyface or a heel. Hardcore Hack says he's been fighting his whole life and he came to WCW to fight for money. He might as well get paid for what he does instead of getting locked up in jail for it. He says Ric Flair won't give him a break. Flair wants to try and sanction Hack's matches and that's not how Hack does business. If Flair wants to treat Hack like a dog, then Hack's gonna be a junkyard dog because this Sunday at Bash at the Beach, there's gonna be a special match. A junkyard invitational hardcore match where the action's gonna take place away from the arena and in some random car-filled junkyard in the main streets of Fort Lauderdale. For those of you who've watched this match before, don't worry, I'm not gonna spend much time on it. Back at the arena, Kurt Hennig gloats about being the man who put Steve Blackman in jail. He asks how many rednecks are in the building and how many people hate rap music, and there's definitely more people cheering than booing right here. The West Texas Rednecks then play Rap Is Crap for the fans in the Georgia Dome, and gotta say, Barry Windham has to be the worst fake drummer in the world. That boy has no rhythm at all, but by God, he's still enjoying himself. Kurt Hennig's also having a ball up there, and Hennig actually said that this was the most fun he ever had in his whole career, and that includes his WWF run. When the song ends, the crowd decide to boo, and this is really odd. Either the production team piped it in, or they were all waiting for Steve Blackman to show up. By the way, Megadeth also played on this episode of Nitro, but if you watched my Thunder video, you would have known this already. Goldberg also made his return following the Megadeth performance, and this has all been cut out of the WWE Network version of this particular Nitro. Goldberg said, "I'm back." He got a huge pop from fans inside the Georgia Dome, and Billy Boy will be in action again on Nitro very soon. On Raw, we've got a 2-on-1 match, Kane versus The Big Show and Hardcore Holly. On Nitro, the Jersey Triad wrestle Benoit, Saturn, and Dean Malenko. Page says the same line he said on Thunder, "You love me, you hate me, you'll never forget me." He and the Triad await the arrival of Saturn, Benoit, and Malenko, and these three would soon create a faction themselves known as the Revolution. Just as Benoit hits his German suplexes on Canyon, Nitro takes a commercial break. We come back to see the Triad getting an unfair advantage as Bigelow and Page choke Saturn out at the ring ropes, and Bam Bam hits a corner splash before tagging in DDP. Unfortunately, the Triad have a little misstep and Canyon accidentally clotheslines Dallas. This allows Benoit to tag in and he tries to hit his diving headbutt, but DDP puts a stop to it and we see Dallas's tilt-a-whirl sidewalk slam. Bam Bam comes back in, he applies a bear hug to Benoit. Benoit escapes and he manages to tag in Saturn, and Perry goes to work on all three Triad members. Dean Malenko has not been tagged into this match so far, and it looks like it's already coming to an end. The match breaks down, Dean Malenko, the Illegal Man, gets left all alone with Canyon. The Innovator of Offense takes a tombstone piledriver, and when Bam Bam tries to break it up with a diving headbutt, he ends up completely missing his target. Saturn then hits Bigelow with a splash, and the match ends with a diving headbutt from Benoit. Bam Bam gets pinned, and the Jersey Triad take a loss just before their big tag match at Bash at the Beach. Not a terrible match, but I do hope the pay-per-view encounter is a bit better. On Raw, X-Pac was supposed to team up with Kane, but Waltman's currently serving hard time with Road Dogg and Steve Blackman, so Kane's all alone here. Kane and Big Show share right hands, and Kane tries to put Show down with a dropkick. The big man just shakes it off, and Kane takes a power slam. In comes the big shot, Hardcore Holly. Bombastic Bob tries to stomp a mud hole in Kane, but the Big Red Machine shakes it off, and Holly gets choked out in the corner. At that very moment, The Undertaker walks down to the ring and The Big Show gets distracted. Eventually, Holly also gets distracted by The Undertaker's presence, and this leads to Bob taking a chokeslam and Kane wins this 2-on-1 match. The Undertaker then joins forces with his brother once again, and the Brothers of Destruction do a number on The Big Show. Kinda odd after what happened previously between Kane and Taker, but they fight side by side here and they even pull off a double suplex on The Big Show. Kane eventually leaves and The Undertaker grabs a steel chair. The Big Show gets busted open after a shot right to the head, so clearly The Undertaker's getting in a little practice before the first blood match. Jim Ross says Kane and Taker have a common enemy and maybe they aren't really together again, but we'll see how this evolves over the next few weeks. Raw ends this week with The Rock vs. Triple H inside a steel cage. On Nitro, it's Kevin Nash vs. Big Sid. Team Madness are in the ring and Macho wants to know where Gorgeous George is. Kev gets in the ring and he tells Macho to take Medusa and Miss Madness to the back if he wants to see George again. This is between Sid and Nash, and Macho doesn't need to be here. Savage eventually leaves, and our match begins with corner knee strikes from Kev, corner clotheslines from Kev, and Sid gets sent out of the ring as the crowd pops. Macho then returns to the ring, but the referee doesn't call for the bell, and I'm not even going to act surprised anymore. This kind of stuff is now fully expected. Nash manages to take care of both Sid and Savage. Both guys take sidewalk slams, and Nash sets Sid up for a jackknife. Sting then runs down to the ring and he attacks Kevin Nash, but fear not, young Stingers, this isn't the real Icon. The real Sting runs down moments later and he takes out Sid, Savage and this imposter Sting as the crowd goes wild. Kevin Nash was knocked out when the real Sting ran down for the save. He wakes up, he sees Sting standing in the ring, and Nash ends up giving his Bash at the Beach tag team partner a powerbomb before leaving. The babyface team are having problems and it'll be interesting to see where this goes at the pay-per-view. But Nash heads back up the ramp and he tells Randy his girl's in his dressing room. Well, what's left of Randy's girl's in the dressing room? Macho heads back up the rampway, and we then see a classic moment in wrestling history. You know it, I know it, it's time to send for the man. Tori completely corpsed here, and she just couldn't keep a straight face. Randy acted on instinct, I guess, and Tori gets slapped. She's still laughing when she tells Macho to look at George's Kevin Nash shirt, and Nash rips the shirt off before throwing George into the corridor. Macho goes back to Tori, she said she had nothing to do with this, which completely contradicts what happened on Thunder, and Savage gives Tori a little beep beep on the nose before Nitro goes off the air. Over on Raw, Triple H is ready to wrestle a match he feels he has nothing to prove in, but The Rock gives Hunter a good fight at the opening bell. Both men explode out of the corner with clotheslines as Jim Ross puts over the fact that these two are still very early in their careers and they're still very young. And you do get the feeling that Ross is comparing these two to WCW's main eventers. Rock tries to climb out of the cage, but he gets dropped headfirst on the turnbuckle. Triple H suplexes the Great One before delivering a knee drop, and Hunter follows this up with a Harley Race knee. Rock stops his opponent from leaving the ring, but China passes Hunter a pair of handcuffs, and Hunter uses the cuffs when punching The Rock a few times. Triple H then tries to handcuff Rocky to the cage, but Rock performs a low blow and the People's Champ goes on offense. Offense that gets stopped pretty quickly with a swinging neckbreaker. Hemsley then tries to escape, and while he is able to fight Rock off momentarily, the Great One ends up throwing Hunter down to the canvas. A Rocky Champ breaks out as Rock tries to exit via the cage door, but China takes the referee out and the door gets closed in Rock's face. China then helps Hunter to leave the cage, and it looks like Triple H just won the match. The referee's out cold as Rock also leaves the cage to fight both Hunter and China, so it looks like China's plan backfired and this match is going to continue. Triple H takes a catapult right into the side of the cage, and Rock then brings Hemsley back to the cage. The match is going to continue. The ref wakes up as Rock performs a Samoan drop. Hunter pulls Rock down from the cage and he takes a DDT for his efforts. Rock then hits Hunter with a double axe handle, but Triple H fires back with his facebreaker knee smash, followed by a clothesline. Hunter tries to leave the cage once again, and Rock has to grab Triple H's hair to stop him from winning. The two sit atop the cage and they throw right hands, and when Rock gets dazed, Triple H tells China to grab a steel chair. Hunter proceeds to smack Rock right on the head, and now it looks like the People's Champ's done for. All Hunter has to do is climb over the cage, but for some incredibly dumb reason, he decides to climb down into the ring and he ends up crotching himself on the top rope. I have no clue why Triple H wanted the exit through the door instead of climbing down the cage, and this makes no sense at all. And what's more, Hunter ends up losing when Rock hits the floor before he does. The Rock wins this cage match, but he also takes a famouser from Billy Gunn. Both Billy and Hunter beat Rock up a little before Raw fades to black, and yeah, there you have it, another episode of Raw in the books. Raw ends reliving the war this week, and it's only because of the main event cage match. The ending of the match was dumb, and the WWF presented some ridiculously short matches this week, but it was still better than Nitro. Not much else to say, really. Raw's now on 99 points, Nitro's got 73, and we still have 19 ties. In the TV ratings, Raw got a 6.2, Nitro got a 3.3. Bash at the Beach is our next pay-per-view, and the event will get covered as normal this week. Sting and Nash have to try to team up when they face Sid and Macho. We've got a boxing match between Buff Bagwell and Roddy Piper. David Flair defends the US Championship against Dean Malenko, and the Jersey Triad defend their tag team titles against Perry Saturn and Chris Benoit. Hopefully you come over this weekend to check out the show. Thank you so much for watching Reliving the War, and as always, take care.